I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Mimi. Oh. Hey, Gigi. When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Hi, everyone. This is Gigi.
And this is Mimi. And you are listening to Queerified. On this podcast, you'll hear from icons in the LGBTQIA+ community.
And some legendary allies, too. Today on the pod, we have a premier YouTube beauty boy in makeup who is no stranger to the drama, Gabriel Zamora.
We kiki about a lot of things, including the YouTube community, growing up queer, and a little bit about the legendary, almost mythical Dramageddon.
Before we get into it, please don't forget to call into the Queerified hotline, 1-844-QUEERYS. That's QUEERYS, and call and ask us anything. Absolutely nothing is off limits, and we will answer your queries at the end of the pod. We love hearing from you.
And maybe, just maybe, we'll call you back.
Grab a snack, grab your champagne, or a drink if you're sober, and get ready because this one is about to get juicy and be everything. Ladies and gentlemen, Gabriel Zamora. All right, and we are back. We are here with none other than the fab, the gorge, the honest and beautiful Gabriel Zamora.
Oh my God. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Say hi to everyone. Everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Oh my God. That's my favorite thing that you do. It's not H-I, everyone. It's H-I-G-H,
well,
everyone.
It's technically H-I because, you know, she's brand friendly. But it's like a double entendre for like my, you know.
Your vice.
My vice.
Your vice. Your medication.
Your vice.
Yeah.
I mean, she's legal. We can do it. No more hush-hush.
California, full legal. But, you know, if you want to be same in Canada. Friendly, you can't be talking about it too much.
H-I period. Everyone. Exclamation mark.
Exclamation point.
We are here with Gabriel Zamora, fresh out of surgery.
Yes.
How did that go?
Oh, my God. It was everything. So I had liposuction.
Ugh, jealous.
Jealous.
It's my second round. The first one, I wasn't, like, obsessed with the results. And that one, I did have a transfer. I don't think I had that much fat to make the big difference.
I don't see anything on you.
No, I like, know. I know. But they find it. They find it anywhere.
Wow. That's what my friend told me. She was pinching my arms. She's like, a little bit here, they'll get. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
They really do
360 lipo and put it in your butt. So not a lot of it stuck then?
Well, I don't think I was as like clear that... Yes, I wanted like my midsection to go down, but he said, so do you want to do your waist? I immediately thought like super like in. So I was like, no. I don't
want
it to look like a woman.
Oh,
like
got
fake.
It.
Oh, yeah. You still wanted that
like,
masculine shape.
I still
shape.
Wanted, like, I want a triangle. That's right. My ideal shape. I want wide shoulders and a more narrow, like.
You don't want hips and a butt.
No.
Interesting.
No, it wasn't a BBL.
Like, I've never been a hips person. Yeah, I've never been a hips person, but I did want like a little fatty.
Of course.
You know?
Thick.
And. The second one was to get rid of that fat that I thought was there. But some people were like, no, you don't have any fat.
Right.
And some people were like, no, you have fat. And I was like, okay, let me actually go to a consultation, actually go to the professional. And he's like, no, you have fat. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God, I'm not crazy.
Right. Everyone's their own worst critic, though. Like, I feel like I could, like, anybody could pick themselves apart. But it's like, you look great. Whatever makes you happy, though.
Yeah.
It's crazy you're here. Everything. You're just sitting here in your garment.
Well, because when you transfer it, you can't sit. It's like a whole, like.
Right.
10 days post-op, can't sit. So going into the second one, I didn't want to deal with that. I was like, I can just grow my ass, to be quite honest.
What was the pain like? Because that's what's stopping me from getting liposuction, because obviously I need it. But the
pain
I've heard from every single...
No pain.
What? Shut
no
up.
Pain.
Is that a lie?
So the first one... Okay, no, I'm not lying. The first... And I have like a pretty low pain tolerance. A medium.
Same.
Medium.
Okay, that's good. That's
medium
good
to high. But like still medium. Because like some fillers will make me kind of like almost pass out. because of the pain.
I hate needles.
Oh, yes. My God. So that's a low pain tolerance.
Yes.
Then. Yeah.
No, I did a lot that day, too.
So I mean, like, it's
so this
my
is now a vanity podcast.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't just the lips. It was, like, a lot more. So the first one I went under for, and I hate the recovery process of anesthesia because you have to recover from that and the surgery. Like, your body's just not used to that. So with the second one, I was like, I want to be awake. I just, like, this doctor specializes in awake lipo.
I think I know the one you're talking
about.
He just
gave me a pill, and then I go into the room, and...
May I ask what the pill is?
I don't even remember.
Were you just out of it?
They were like, it's going to take, like, 10 minutes to kick in. And I was like, okay, and I'm sitting in that room by myself, and I was like, okay, like, chilling. And then I was like, I know I want to ask him something, and then I went into the room, completely forgot, and he's like, okay, lay down on your side. And I was like, okay, put my hand over, I'm on my side.
And you didn't know it was starting already?
No, it was like starting. I knew it was starting because he's like, okay, I'm gonna start locally numbing you with injections. And I started to feel some of it, you
like
know, and I was like,
oh my god,
pressure.
But like,
but after that, nothing.
Oh, I passed out, fully passed out. Ooh. I just remember him being like, okay, wake up now, flip over. I was like, okay, flipped over, passed out. And he's like, wake up, okay, on your stomach. I was like, okay.
Wait, I want to go to this guy.
And then I woke up and he's like, okay, hey, we're done. And I was like, we're not done. That's been like 30 minutes. You keep waking me up. And he's like, no, it was like 3.5 hours. I was like, what?
You must have been the easiest patient.
Oh, I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was the best nap. Like, wow. I went to sleep and I got lipo.
So jealous.
What was the recovery? The recovery wasn't painful at all?
The recovery is so, like, the first day, that drug is strong. I need to find out what, like, I don't need to find out what it was, actually.
Oh my God.
Let me just not
gonna get
that.
Another vice
and,
up in
like,
here.
The whole day, I didn't feel nothing. I woke up the next day, and I've heard from a lot of, like, people who've had a lot of surgery. When they explain, like, painkiller addiction, they say it usually starts from surgeries. So
definitely.
You can only, they only recommend taking it the first day if you're in a lot of pain, but try not to go on painkillers. Like, it can possibly create an addiction.
Absolutely. Like, and they overprescribe. Like, they give you, like, I know girls who love painkillers because they get their boobs, they get their face, they get all this, they get lipo, BBLs, whatever, and their doctors give them like 60 Vicodin. Yes. And it's like, if it's there and it's like, oh, I think it's a little bit, or I'm going out, I don't want to feel it, they just pop a pill. And then before you know it, you're popping a pill before doing anything.
Yes. I read a study that basically explained that, like, with painkillers, because it lowers that pain threshold, when you see pain is how you can relate to it. So if you see someone break their leg, it hurts because you can imagine it, you feel it. But when you're on painkillers, it also affects your empathy towards others.
Oh my God, I didn't even know that.
It makes you more empathetic?
It makes you less empathetic.
Oh.
Because you can't understand their pain in a sense. You're just like, oh, like, I don't care.
Wow. Have I been on painkillers
like
this whole time?
Yeah, oh my God. Come on, opposite of an empath. At this point. Well, I will say, recovering from anesthesia even going under, I've had tons of plastic surgery.
Really?
All that was very, you know, like, gender confirming. I mean, more people are like, I've never had a surgery. I'm like, what? Can't relate.
Oh, I could never.
Right? I'm like, okay, well, I guess I have gone under quite a few times. I feel like whenever I start feeling it and it's about to happen, I start being so talkative. Like, hey, so I just have a question. Yeah. Or like, can I call my husband really fast? Or like, how's your day? Like, are you feeling okay? And always
and
I hear, shut up, shut up. Yeah, it's just I want to talk.
Yeah.
Because I think it makes you feel just like drunk a little bit. And you're just like, whoa, I feel crazy. I'm about to do something. It's like nerves talking.
What was your most painful surgery?
I would honestly say probably my first boob job.
Ooh, that I was
stretching out
that.
My muscle, because I was an athlete before. So my muscles were really tight, really flat. Even after being on hormones for like a year, I just had like puffy nipples, basically. I was just meant to be a double A cup. So when I wanted that C, that like bombshell Victoria's Secret look, the stretch was just unbelievable. Like, I'm surprised I didn't get a painkiller addiction, because I was on them for a while. It was like blackout pain.
Yeah, you called me and you said, I'm going to jump out of this window. Like, I can't take the pain. I'm going to jump out of the window.
Yes, it was very much that. But then the week passed and it was fine, but it was just, oh, it hurt so bad. And then after that, my muscles stretched, my skin stretched. It was all good. You'd think like getting full FFS all over your face, it looks crazier, but the chest is just, I mean, shout out to all my trans girls getting their first boob jobs. If you do choose to do so, it's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a bitch. Wait, so let's move on, Gabriel. You being basically one of the first boys in makeup that I knew of online. And it is this really small community, yeah, right? Like, it's literally only a handful of you. I wanted to ask you, when you first started doing makeup, like applying it, also when did you start? But when you started applying it, was it always an artistry thing for you? Or was there a little bit more of that, I want to be pretty like a girl? Mm-hmm. Because for me, it was probably 20% artistry, 80% I want to be pretty like a girl.
Okay. For me, I remember seeing my mom's makeup growing up, but I never cared for it. My mom also isn't a big like glam girl. She wasn't like, she had the essentials. She had the mascara, she had the lipstick, maybe a little powder. Did not believe in foundation, maybe eyeliner. Like, she kept it real basic.
She was a mom.
Yeah, she was a mom. Yeah. Like, she's an immigrant mom, like, with four kids. Like, she's not...
She's not worried about...
Yeah, she really doesn't care.
Setting spray.
So, for me, my obsession started around 18-ish because I was watching people on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, I was like watching people on YouTube, Gigi included,
yes,
when she lived in Canada.
Yeah, like Toronto.
Like the full fantasy. Like I was seeing everything online and I was like, oh, okay, like that's kind of interesting. So I got like infatuated with it, but I wasn't doing it until I took an acting class and my acting coach said, your eyes don't read well on camera. And I was like, the fuck is that supposed to mean, bitch? Like, who just tells somebody that? But, I, like, you know, it was, like, an awakening moment.
Right.
Because I was like, okay, but what am I supposed to do? And she's like, well, makeup. Like, just look online how to make your eyes bigger. And I was like, okay. Well, I was like, well, I can just YouTube it. Like, I'm sure there's a tutorial.
Little tricks.
Yeah. So I, like, went into the rabbit hole, like, the white eyeliner in your waterline. White. Do you remember those days? Like,
I still do white.
Stark white?
Yes. Not Lady Gaga. House Laboratories. Laboratories? What's the brand even? House Labs. They do a great white and it lasts so long. I know it's like shocking, but it just looks so good in photos. Like I'll never get it.
Really shocking. It's cute.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's people like a nude because it's like, it's a barely there. It's flesh tone.
Like I have dark eyes.
Yeah.
So it's like dark skin.
You see the white eyeliner before you even see the eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I'm pale, it's like very just like blending in. Well, that's interesting to me that it was a theater like kind of gateway to you.
And then it became like, you know, like a snowball effect. I was like, okay, white eyeliner. Okay, I was like, well, my brows. I can start filling in my brows. Okay, well, maybe mascara. I don't know if I like that. Well, I want to like spot treat, concealer to foundation, to a bronzer, to this, to that, to the point where it became like, I don't even, when I think back at it, I don't know what I was trying to achieve, to be quite honest. Okay. Like, I think I was just wearing it because I was like, oh my God, this is fun. I feel pretty.
Right.
Like, I just like feeling pretty. And I think it snowballed into what I now, when I look back at it and what it is still today, I'm like, I like to find out what makeup works for me to make me feel the best. And not being an expert in the field by having worked at a makeup counter, I learned everything I know from YouTube. Like, I'm self-taught in a sense. So I have created a community just like that. That's like, okay, I can learn how to do it on myself, figure out what looks good on me. So that's been, I guess, my kind of journey with makeup.
Yeah, I feel like...
Sorry, did that ever make you question your gender at all?
No, but I did question my gender at one point when I was just really young, when I was like, it would be easier to like men if I was a woman.
Oh, yes.
But I was never like, I'm a woman. Like, when I was younger, I was like, as I'm going through everything.
So pronouns strictly he, him.
Yeah. Like I've always been he. Like, yeah, I've always liked playing with femininity, but I've always been like, why can't I play with it? As opposed to like, oh, I identify as something else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I feel a lot of the time society, it's all of the society, the structure, the pushing of, you know, being gay and feminine is you're never going to find a partner. It's going to be hard to date, all that stuff. And also spending so much time experimenting with makeup, it's vain. It's wrong. You should be focusing on other things. When in reality, there is nothing wrong about wanting to improve the way you look because it improves the way you feel. And at the end of the day, it like heightens your performance in every aspect of your life. If you feel good, I always felt like, right, exactly. But people can't relate. Like girls in high school, when I would spend like an hour and a half doing my makeup, they would love it, but they would be like, oh my God, like so much time. So, George, like, yeah, I fucking did. And I loved it. It's my therapy. Yeah. fuck off. Yeah, so I've always, and I feel still to this day, I'm like, yes, I need 3 hours to get ready because I want to look my best.
Because it's
like,
fun. Getting ready is the fun.
Right. Like, and you do like your average shit for fun. You go to food restaurants and write a food blog. Like, I like to do my makeup. Like, it's just, it is what it is.
Yes. The glam girls.
Yes.
Oh, a glam girl loves to take, a glam girl could take 5 hours on a glam.
Oh, yes. Sometimes
like, fully living in it, too. And
yes.
Encompassing the energy of the evening.
Uh-huh.
Throughout that whole process.
Playing the nice music that builds up. Just the whole vibe.
Nibbling on things throughout the night.
Uh-huh. Popping a little bubbly.
A drink, like, as something's setting with, like, you know, the powder just setting, like,
totally
drinking. Ugh.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Can you rewind to when you were younger? Where did you grow up? What was that like for you?
So I was born in LA, but I moved to Houston when I was 12.
Oh, yeah, Texas.
And I feel like I was more so raised in Houston. Like, when I was in LA, like, I come from a very low-income family, so we weren't doing a lot. We were already kind of, like, figuring out how to get by, so we weren't going out a lot. It was just a lot of family and, like, hanging out with family and just neighbors. So I feel like in Houston, I got to explore the city, so I feel like I'm more Houston, even though I was, like, born here.
Right.
And yeah, that's why I'm like, that's why I feel like I'm so like weirded out by LA sometimes.
No, you're more normal.
Like,
LA is savage. Weird. It's crazy.
LA is a weird city.
It is. Like, she'll come to visit Mimi and it'll just be like so many things noticing. Like, when people walk in the room,
I will point everything out. Like, this, that's not normal. Like, do you see
right,
that?
People say hi to just like the famous people in the room and ignore others and just like the social interaction.
It's a weird city.
It's, you need to get out of it, unless you're born and raised here, I guess, and you have family. You need to get away to reset. Like, yeah. I truly believe
or,
that.
Or like Gigi, you need to be grounded.
Yes, you'll just get sucked up. You need to have people around you that make you normal.
Yes.
To a certain extent.
How long have you been in LA for?
Honestly, now like 6 years. Like, at some point, I am going to be like a Californian.
You are?
Yeah. That's how I feel too.
I'm just of the world, you know?
No, Gigi, you are a California girl. Like, you're not anything other than a California girl. Like, it's cute to say you're Canadian, but what's Canadian about you now?
I always say when people are like, so how long have you lived here? Like, oh, are you from here? I'm like, no, I moved to California. They're like, how long have you been here? I'm like, 7 years. And then I'm like, I think I've been saying 7 years for like 4 years because me and Nats have been together for 7 years and I definitely didn't, you know, so I feel like, I don't know, that 7 is just my number. It's like when you like people, how old is your cat? You're like 2? It's like 5.
Time is a man-made construct that we shouldn't even really keep track of.
Yeah, no, time doesn't exist. There is no future. There is no past. It's only right now all the time.
It's just celebrations.
I want to talk about, you're both YouTubers. You kind of have the same background. The beauty community is really crazy. Like, what's 3 words you would use to describe the beauty community for both of you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. I would say for me, do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay, 3 words to describe the beauty community. I would definitely say catty.
Okay.
Number one.
Wow.
Catty, definitely. creative. Should I do three C's? Catty, creative, and I don't know. I feel like it's like very small.
You think the beauty community is creative? Like, what's creative about having a makeup line, releasing another red lipstick?
I mean, it's not really just that though. There's like every, like so many things go into it. Like all the makeup looks, like you would think, oh yeah, it's just a smoky eye, but it's really not like that. Like people are so creative. It is artistry at the end of the day.
Of course.
I still get inspired. Not to say that I don't get stuck in ruts of doing the same bronzy eye every day for years and nude lip like I have on right now. But I feel like it is, yeah, just like it is small. I mean, there's so many beauty influencers, if you will. I also don't really fuck with the word influencer just because I feel like if you have to say that you're influential, you're not really influential.
Also, yeah, we can go into that word. I don't know why people have such a weirdness towards influential. Influencer is a marketing term that marketers use for somebody who sells their product. You're not influencing anybody. You're just influencing them to buy the product. Like, it's become this whole thing where it's like, oh, influencers influence people's thoughts. Like, no, that's not what it means. Like, it's a very real marketing term. Like, we have a product, we need influencers to advertise our product. That's all it means.
Yeah, I feel you.
I like it too.
Huh?
I sometimes like the word
influencer,
because, like,
really?
I think people can, like, the everyday person can kind of understand it now, as opposed to, like, I remember when I first moved to LA, telling an Uber driver I was like a YouTuber.
Oh God.
I didn't know. They're like, what? Yeah. Like the explanation. Now when I tell an Uber driver, oh, I'm an influencer, they're like, oh, so like
exactly.
You work like on the internet. And I'm like, yes.
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 It was so difficult traveling for so long. Like,
what do you
I would
do?
Just get like, I had, yeah, what do you do? I had one time this guy, he just was a dick at the airport and he was like, I need to, we were going back and forth and I was just getting fed up with him. So I kept giving him less and less just because I'm stubborn like that. He's like, do you act? I'm like, yes, that's it. I don't need to tell you.
To
like,
do you
model?
Officer.
I'm like, yes. Yeah. Cause he just was not letting me through. And I'm like, he's clearly trying to get to know me for some reason or another, but I'm just not going to give it to him. He literally, no word of a lie, put me into secondary questioning and they ended up taking me to the ATM in airport security, looking at my bank statement on my card and was questioning the amount in my ATM, where it came from, where I was making my
Jeez.
Money. I called my manager. Yes, I was like, and then after I was like, I don't think they were allowed to do that.
They
I think I was just being complacent. But
no,
they
are. They're allowed to do anything.
That's a thing.
They are, yes.
Yes, that's a thing. When he was doing it to me, I was like, this seems illegal. But then after... No, they can really do that.
They need to know, like, what if you don't have money? So what are you really here for? Like, are you here as a refugee, like, because you have no money? That's, like, the things they look
at.
Seeking
it.
Exactly.
Oh, true. It makes sense that they're going to be alone.
But not to me with my blonde ponytail and pink juicy bag. Like, hello.
You could be smuggling something in.
I would be that girl.
Yeah, you would be that girl.
Wait, so like, what were your three words?
Creative,
catty,
and
cunty.
Small.
Okay.
Cunty. Small. Yes, yes.
Gabrielle?
Creative, crazy, and cunt.
Okay, we have two of the same words. That's fine. You could borrow them from me.
I like that.
I mean, it really is. I feel like the whole drama aspect of the internet was just never there when I started.
Yeah.
And I bet when you started. Sorry?
I've been in one. I've been in the drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah.
You used to be problematic. Okay, so.
She used to be a problematic ass bitch.
So what happened?
So I got into the beauty space like 2015, 2016. And I was in like Dramageddon 1. I was like one of like the big.
The Dramageddon.
One.
Legendary Dramageddon.
Yeah.
Three.
There was Dramageddon 2. Now there's like Carmageddon, which was Shane Dawson's. Dramageddon 2 was Tati and James.
Oh,
like,
just the big ones.
Yes.
So you were one.
Yeah, I was one.
Volume 1.
Yeah, I was volume 1 if you go back to the original.
Oh my God.
So that was you. Who was it?
Yeah,
Jeffrey
there's
Star.
Only there could only be sequels if the original is good.
I mean, yeah. So wait, you know how did mean? That? So for our viewers that don't know, because some people might not know what Dramageddon is, I feel like I honestly fully don't know.
Dramageddon was an entire shit show on the internet where it was just the right time of people wanting to talk about the petty things that were going on in the beauty space that nobody really was talking about. Because little things would happen here and there. And when you would want to go look at it, like, you would have to, like, weirdly type it into YouTube and be very specific to see, hopefully, if somebody screen recorded it and posted it on there. Mm. Then some people just started to make commentary videos on it around that same time. There was, like, maybe one or two. And then right at Dramageddon, the one I was in, like, there was people that had just started and people who had thought about it that were like, this is my moment to do it. So it was a lot of people now having a lot of conversations as to the petty things that happen with the beauty influencers that is clearly all on the internet. But then they're like, but we want more, we want more, we want more. And it's, to me, I'm like, it's literally high school.
Yeah, like, it's literally a high school moment. I mean, it's like a high school moment, but like from the movies, high school moment. Because
yes.
I feel like ours wasn't really that psycho, but I feel like in the movies, high school is like that.
Yeah. No, have you been in drama?
I've had like one or two like scandals, really? But I really do try to keep it moving. Yeah. Like I really like not try to separate myself. I mean, Mark, you know, we've been friends since the very beginning, even before. I really always do just try to keep it positive, keep it moving. I really try not to like have beef with anyone online or in my real life.
Negative is just not the Gigi Gorgeous brand. Like that's not who you are as Gigi Gorgeous. It's not who you are in real life. So I never ever thought that you would fall into that space. But it always interested me how and why people would go into that drama.
Right. It's like you always like to watch a car crash, right? Like it's like how they like build celebrities yes. up, like marriage, amazing. And then when they break up, it's like broken, like a whole thing. Like they like to build you up to tear you down. But it's like if you just stay above all that and keep it moving, keep it positive, like some of my role models do, it's like it really can't touch you if you don't give it the energy of day. But I feel like people nowadays online are like, the drama influencers that do it in a way to stay relevant and yeah. like honestly at the same time put their morals and they're like, you know, what if their family knew what they were doing? They would be so embarrassed.
Yeah, that's why I'm reformed. I'm a reformed problematic influencer.
Okay, so you were like actively going to be problematic
so
or just
I wasn't
came?
Actively, but I was like, I was involved in the first one. And
who was involved in the first one?
In the first one, it was Jeffree Star, Manny MUA, Laura Lee, Nikita Dragon, and me.
Legends.
So just the five of you.
Yeah,
just the five of you really yes. went ham, huh?
Like, it went ham. Like, it was so, the most fascinating experience to be a part of.
What caused it?
A tweet that I tweeted. The Bitch, most iconic fucking it? Tweet ever. Yeah.
Wait, you did?
Everybody says it was the tweet. It was Gabriel's tweet. And I'm like... whatever.
Wait, so it really what? It was the middle finger? You tweeted
yeah,
that?
I tweeted that.
Oh my God, it was all of them, Mark,
yeah,
giving the middle finger.
Without him, we're doing better.
And talking
what
about
I,
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Work. Oh work. God. That's fun. Yeah.
Because at the time, I was like, oh, like I'm hearing so much shit. And then shit happened with some of my friends who I now respect to where I'm like, in that moment, I had no respect, but now I'm like, I respect, so I'm not going to speak ill of my
of course,
friends.
It's past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But... oh my God.
I mean, it's
it
juicy
was the
as
most
hell.
Weirdest experience ever. Like, it was weirdly traumatizing. It
I
really
bet.
Was.
Did you go to therapy after?
No.
Really?
You yeah, think I went that to therapy
you like
you years later.
I feel like I would have needed therapy after something
oh,
like
yes.
that because it is traumatizing, you know, because those scandals are so polarizing. Like, I know many of my friends have been through them, and all I can do is just call them. And be like, how are you doing? Because I'm not fucking getting involved.
Like you go through it.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it's polarizing. You're either for the person or you're not and you're tearing them down. Yeah. You know? So like, how does that feel?
So it's happened to me in two different occasions. The first one was that one where I started to get like a bunch of hate. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen that much hate come at me. But looking back at it, it was like an individual's like super fans. So... and they had a really large following. So it's like, oh my God, it's a lot of people. So it kind of creates a different conversation even to yourself. I'm like, oh my God, am I like...
are they right?
Wait, I question what I even said.
Like,
I'm like,
am I
wait,
horrible?
Wait, what did I say? I'm yeah. like, wait,
you're
I have
being
to
gaslit.
Like... it really showed me that I'm like, I need to always be aware that I have to stand by my words.
Exactly.
So I've always done that. So I'm like, if I said it, I meant it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And take you know, it or leave
like,
it.
I should be able to stand by it.
Exactly.
Yes. So then that one happened. And then the second one happened where it was like James and Tati.
Okay. I remember
like,
that one.
Tati like, Yes, I was in the Bi Sister video. I was in the very beginning.
Wait, like your face?
Yeah, she used me as... Okay, in the Bi Sister video, she said I was the reason why she created the video.
Okay.
But then when she came back, she said, oh no, it was Jeffrey and Shane who made me do the video. So I was like, damn, you sent so much hate to me.
Wait. James how could Charles. She put that around? No, how could she say you were the reason and then say that, oh wait, no, he wasn't?
Yeah.
How does that work?
The only person that caught it was D'Angelo Wallace.
And why would she say that you made that video come
because
to life?
Because she needed a reason.
But like, did you have any part in it?
No.
So what the fuck? Like,
I shaded, and I will admit, I shaded
her. We love an honest queen.
But honestly, all she could have said was like, Gabriel Zamora, you need to shut the fuck up. This has nothing to do with you. That's all she needed to say, and she could have punked
me. She didn't need to say anything.
And the thing is, she said I was a reason, even though I had already heard she was making the video before I uploaded my video, even though in her video, she uses my video. So I was like, oh, I know you're lying.
Oh my God.
I was that girl, and... So when people started to lie is when I was like, ooh, I don't like this game.
Yeah.
At first, it was kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. Like,
could they not lie, though, when it's that big?
I just thought like, oh, like, it, like the truth will always get out. But it's like, no.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it won't. An influencer can create such an echo chamber with a very large audience of whatever they say, even if it's wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're just like, oh, no, like, what I'm saying is right. And they're like, if they have a large enough audience... They echo it.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not the reason.
Like, they believe her.
You can truly paint, can paint the narrative that you want.
Yeah.
You really can. And that's scary.
Yeah. And the thing with lying is like, but in that moment, like, I still got the hate. You can be like, oh, I lied. My bad. But I still had to endure the hate. So I'm like, I'm not playing this game if that's going to be happening, because I'm not just going to be taking lie after lie after lie. Like, I don't know how housewives do it.
How dark did that get for you? Like,
oh,
how dark?
Xanax and painkillers.
Like, you bitches want to lie?
Right.
Oh, I was like,
that's no, where it stops.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm already like a double minority. I can't be playing this game with y'all because like y'all are like fucking around.
See, I feel like Mark, that's where it would start for me too.
I would be like, oh, we're lying.
I would be like, oh, absolutely not.
Like they're like, no, the sky's purple. And I'm like,
bitch.
No, I'd be like, no, she's blue.
No, the sky's purple.
Right.
The sky's yellow. And I'm like, what? Like, no, you can't lie.
I mean, that's how these things snowball too. I can
have
an argument
and I can say I'm in the wrong. If we can get and have a conversation and be like, no, this is why you're in the wrong. And if it's logical and like it's a real like constructive thing, I can take an L like that and be like, okay, you know what? I was being a bitch. Like I shouldn't have involved myself. But no, like to lie on somebody, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to play this game.
Right.
Because at first I felt like this, one can say self-proclaimed like savior in the community of calling out the BS. Because I would call it out on my socials and they would live.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, look, Gabriel's calling out this BS. Like, Kenza Cosmetics, which was like a scam situation, this other influencer who was lying about some of my friends and exes.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
When you call out BS, because I always feel weird when people call something out on social media, and no tea, no shade, just for fun. Is that performative? Like, what are you really doing that for? Are you doing that to call somebody out, or are you doing it to get some likes?
For me, in that moment, when I look back at it, I felt like that was my thing to be able to call it out, because my apology video was so well received. And the majority of the conversation was like, this is what you need to do. Like, you just need to be honest. Like, we love that you kind of like opened like the behind the scenes a little bit more. You spoke out on some stuff. Like, don't be over edity with your videos. We like this like raw, like truthful, da da da. Like, call things out. So I was like, okay. So I was like, yeah, okay. That's what my audience is saying. And the new audience, I'm like, okay, I'll pivot. Like, I'm a versatile queen.
Pivot.
I'm going to figure it out. So I was like, okay. So then I would kind of like give my two cents on things and they would live. Like they would be like, oh my God, I love that you're having these real honest conversations within the community. And I'm like, okay, like I live. Like at one point we were talking about like Marlena Stell, like, bitching about influencers charging $60,000 for
Geek Cosmetic, Makeup Geek. I remember her. I liked her.
And I was like, girl, like, not everybody charges that. Why are you calling that out? Because then it makes other people look bad, but also like,
and like, that's the influencer. But also that's the rate.
Yes. I'm like, your shit, like, other people are paying it. Absolutely. If you can't afford it, it's fine. But don't be like, oh, y'all can't charge what y'all charge.
Says who? Uh-huh.
And I was upset at that. Yeah, I was like, says who?
I didn't get that either. Yeah. I remember that. And I was like, girl.
You could be like, oh, we just can't afford it. But don't make a video talking about like these motherfuckers charge 60K. Excuse me?
Because yeah. these are a lot of money,
you see these crazy ass followers? They'll buy anything, bitch.
Like, you're an influencer with a makeup brand, and it was very, like, ooh, bitch, at the top of, like, it was one of the top brands. Like, you've made a lot of money, girl. Like, you were successful.
Yeah.
Why are you now saying you can't charge what you charge?
So she was in her feelings that day when she did that,
I would,
sure.
like, mention it in videos, and, like, my audience lived for that. But when I look back at it, like, it wasn't to be like, oh, like, in any shady way, it was just like, oh, like, this is what they want from me. Like, okay, like, I'll do it. Where it changed for me was when certain drama channels, because I was like, oh, like, this is where I'm being talked about. So I can be respectful in the sense of, like, maybe this is, like, the modern day, like, press in a sense of YouTube. I'm gonna...
Definitely.
Everybody talks, you know? And I've always been fascinated with, like, celebrity culture. Like, Wendy Williams, Perez Hilton, like... I, like, growing up, like, I was always kind of, like, nosy. I was just nosy as a kid.
Chismosa.
So I, like, grew up into it. Chismosa.
Oh, my God.
Very chismosa.
Favorite word.
Like, I lived for it. So I know, like, what's going on. So when they started to, like, when I had conversations, and one of them was, like, oh, I agree with what you're saying, but the conversation is the opposite, so I'm going to just go with that.
Right.
And I was, like, wait, so you agree that who I'm telling you is lying, and I've proven to you that they're lying. And they're like, oh, but like the majority is on her side. Yeah. So I'm just going to go over there because I don't want to get hated on.
Everybody's truth is so different, like, though. Everybody's.
Yeah, it's very that. Like, stand up for what's right.
I was like, but okay, what's right? So then who says it came out right? later? Yeah.
Which, what's true?
What's true? What's right? Everyone's truth is their truth.
My truth.
Right?
Journey.
Like, if I like it this way and you like it that way, who's going to tell? Like, how are we going to figure out who's right and wrong, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. That is the tea.
This rosé is hitting me. What are we talking about right now?
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I have a question for you, okay. Gabriel. So back during Dramageddon, knowing that, Gabriel, how much you've grown now, what is some advice that you would give yourself back then?
Here we go. I would almost want to say don't get into it, but it taught me so much in understanding how to see how people move. Like, I come from, like, maybe it's because I come from Texas. Maybe it's because I come from a very loving family. I expect people to be nice and kind and, like, forthcoming. And, like, just I expect very great things from people. And being in certain situations in these drama get-ins and the drama, and since then, like, it just taught me, like, oh, just watch how people move.
Yeah.
Because some people could be, like, sneaky about it and sneak, and, like, you know, just, you don't got to associate with everybody. And I like that it taught me that, because Gabriel, who first moved to LA, was like, I could be friends with everybody. Everybody's a great person. Like, no, it taught me, like, like, guard your space.
Yeah.
Guard your energy. Guard yourself.
Right, right.
Gigi, yeah. do you relate to that? Like, absolutely. Do you expect a lot from people?
I see the best in a lot of people. I think that's, like, one of my biggest downfalls. Yeah, and I'm extremely forgiving. I'm extremely generous with my time, my money, everything, my energy.
Like, I take a lot, too, for me to even be like, oh, no, I can't.
Yes, me too. I know. But when I'm done, I feel like I'm done. I don't know if that's just, like, the Disney princess inside of me. Like, rainbows and, you know, birds flying on my face every day.
It's a good way
to live. Glitter and unicorns. I like it, but then if someone really does like fuck with me and hurt me or hurt those around me, especially now that I'm married, my husband is like my other part.
Yes.
It's game over, because then that's, you're really coming for my life, and I like my life.
Yeah.
I like where I'm at. I'm a very happy person. And I feel like that's just through lessons that we've learned. I mean, yeah. Yours, of course, was Dramageddon. That's probably the biggest one, right? So that was that was your advice for yourself. What would you say to the people involved in Dramageddon? Because I myself have a major respect for each of them individually and, you know, as a whole. But what happened was fucked up and insane. Like, it just really was like viral to the 10th degree. So what would you say to each person?
I would just say it to all of them. Let the games begin.
Bitch. Oh my God. Yes.
It was a motherfucking game, and bitches thought I was going to lose. And I was like, oh no.
Listening to you now, you're too nice. Like, you could have gotten a little bit dirty.
It was like, oh my God. What's that movie with Jennifer Lawrence?
The Hunger Games.
Oh my God. It feels like The Hunger Games. It feels like survive, bitch. Mm. Like when you're in it, it truly feels like you better survive, bitch. Like, you're like,
and you did.
Yeah, but you were like Rue. Like, you were, no, you bitch, you were Katniss. You were so nice and like full of integrity. I would not have been that bitch. Like, if you're gonna throw down, I'm gonna throw down.
No, I'll throw down. Right? That's why I was like, I'm the, like, I think it also showed like, oh, Gabriel's like a, like, yeah, he's Latina. He's probably a Chihuahua, but God damn, his like bark and bite are like too much. Like, don't fuck with him. Like, I feel think like, it really set a precedent, just don't fuck with Gabriel.
Right, right. Like, I mean, I feel like that. I feel like you are a truth teller and you really do say it like it is. And I also feel like you know a lot more than you lead on because you are just like a good person. I feel like
I know people too much.
Exactly.
I know way too much.
I feel the goddamn same. I feel like everybody who's like this person, that person, I'm like, wow, how messy could you be? Like, if I went on record and wrote in my book and shared everything that I knew about people.
Oh my God.
Game over. Then I'd be Wendy Williams or Perez
Hilton. Oh my God.
And I feel like what we were talking about with truth earlier, like the truth will always come out. Sometimes it takes a while. But
sometimes it takes a while. Oh, awful that's when
people,
I learned.
Awful people will be exposed.
Yes.
Like, it is just a fact of life. If you can't get away with being a horrible person for the rest of your life without people talking about it.
T.
Yeah. For me, it like during that drama get into, even though I wasn't one of the big people, I was slightly involved. So I got that like hate.
You were the tweet.
No. This one was the Tati and James.
Oh, too.
I was the video. Yeah. Supposedly. I was the video. I had to, at that time, oh, it sucked. Because I was like, oh my God. I had to learn to give things time. And I was like, time. Oh my God. That was the most like excruciating thing to learn, to really have to give something almost over a year to fully be exposed as to what really happened. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it took over a year for people to be like, oh my God, you were right.
Right.
And I was like, you bitches. And it
so taught,
it taught
you patience.
Yeah, it taught me patience.
I hate patience. Patience is a virtue or virtue, whatever that's
really
saying.
Is.
I hate it. That's what I'm not excited for motherhood. I hate patience. I'm the most fast-paced person. If I can't get it out, I don't even want it.
I don't even know if I want kids to be
just because of that.
Yeah, I'm very selfish. And I don't feel like I'm at even like the developmental stage of having figured out all my traumas.
Same.
And all my situations.
Literally same.
To really start fucking like teaching a human.
Right. It's so much pressure.
Like having to like come to terms that I'm like, oh shit. My mom like had me at this point.
Such a trip to think about.
I'm like, oh,
I mean,
my
we
God.
are in LA. We are living a different lifestyle. So I feel like it keeps us young.
Yes.
You know, like a lot of my friends back home have kids. A lot of my sister's friends, my brother's friends.
Like, oh my God. Like, I don't even know what's going on. And I have it way better than you bitches. How the fuck did y'all figure it out with me?
So it makes me say that they have.
Do I want a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when am I going to be ready? Like, as a gay man, I have the privilege because I tell like straight men this all the time. I'm like, you know, I never fear like getting someone pregnant.
Right.
And they're like, wow, like I fear it all the time. And I was like, I never fear it. Like when I think of kids is like when I really am like, do I want kids?
Like it's your choice.
Yeah, it's so my
never
choice.
Never going to creep up on you.
Never.
Would you ever do it by yourself or would you need to be in a serious relationship?
I personally think it needs two people.
I want to be in a relationship.
I think it's empowering when people do it by themselves, though. It's
yeah,
like, wow,
it
bitch, you really went against the grain.
I think for me, I'm just like, no, girl, this is going to... Like, if you don't have a man, this is an alone journey for you,
yeah.
Girl. Like, yeah. I'll be the greatest uncle. I have a lot of siblings. I have a lot of aunts and uncles. I have a lot of cousins.
See, I feel like you like kids.
I love kids, but I know that I have to be aware that I have to be at the right place.
Same.
Right.
Literally,
mentally, emotionally, relationship, like everything, to be able to bring in a human.
It's such a big deal. It's such a huge, major deal.
Mm-hmm. This is a human. I'm like, oh my God, I'm bringing me.
Yeah.
I'm bringing me into this world.
It's definitely not casual, and it is a lifestyle change. Yes. Like, I know when I do it, I'm going to have to become a lot less selfish.
Well, you're ready for it. You are ready for children, Gigi.
I still have a little bit of time to go. Like, I could right now, but I'm just not ready. Like,
but mentally,
I feel like I'm like halfway there.
You're ready to have a child.
I could have one. I would definitely just be... It would be definitely a change. I feel like I have somewhat patience now, but like a kid is a whole new level.
Oh my God.
I mean, crazy. But also it's like the natural timeline of things. You're married about 2 years in. You both want children. We can talk about this at another episode, but some of our biggest fights have been talking about wanting children, because I don't,
do. Yeah, that definitely needs to be on another podcast, because we have completely different stance. But that's what best friends are for.
That's what best friends are for.
We can be like, it's okay. It's okay to, disagree for now.
No, that's how me and my best friend are. We disagree on a lot of things. Like, we always, I'm like, we always have an opinion on it as well.
Right.
And we're so opposites, but I'm like, oh, I feel like that's what I love.
Isn't it boring to be the same all the time?
You can tell your best friend when you disagree with them because you're best friends, but your regular friends, you'd be like,
Of
course,
I'm like, oh my God,
I agree.
This discussion.
Exactly.
They're going to get their feelings hurt.
Exactly. Like, yeah, of course, I want kids too. Duh. Move on. Let's go to lunch.
But my best friend is like, you said what?
Yeah. Bitch, see, I feel like you love kids. I feel like kids love you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like they just do. I feel like if I was a kid, I'd be like, Gabriel.
Like, my nieces. They're not my nieces. My favorite cousin, who's like a year older than me. Like, I think of her as like a sister. She has two under two. And I've created like a relationship with them over FaceTime.
Oh, my God. You haven't met them?
And when I finally saw them, they were like, oh, my God, hi. Like, they knew me. And I was like, oh my God, the way kids are connected to technology.
And they are so smart.
Oh my God. She was taking a photo of me the other day. She's 3 years old. She knew I was on FaceTime and she grabbed her mom's phone. And then she opened the camera. She flipped the camera so it was on me.
Shut up.
And then she was taking photos. I was like, take my photo. And I was like,
it's insane.
Oh my God, how do you know this?
I always think that kids are, not to be rude, but dumber than they are.
Yes.
Like when they're like two, I'm like, oh, they won't hear.
Like,
they won't know.
It's
they
opposite. Know everything. Older people are dumber.
They're smarter than
listen.
You. Like being around kids like at five, it's so scary. It's intimidating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, are they going to clock me? Like, do I have to have the talk with them? Like,
really?
Yeah, because kids, they're always drunk. They have truth serum. They're not thinking about your feelings.
That's so true, actually.
I will tell you how it is. Do I look good? No. They'll be like,
based on what standard?
Like my cartoons I watch.
I've had children ask me if I was a girl or a boy. Like, that's definitely true.
Oh, girl. If I had a nickel.
Oh, no. I've had the occasional, like, why do you act like a girl?
Yes.
Like, why do you talk like a girl?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
I feel like kids now love it, though. Like, my my best friend's sister's child, Enzo.
Enzo.
Enzo, little baby. We were over one day and he was like 2.5 at this point, could barely, like, was so shy, not even looking at me. And he goes, where's Barbie? And I was like, And she goes, we've never watched Barbie. He just called you Barbie. And she's like, I don't know where he learned that. I don't know where he saw that. And now he just calls me Barbie.
That's so cute.
I was like,
cute.
Oh my
God. So sweet.
I know, I died. I was like, oh my God. I was nervous he was going to like be mean to me. But meanwhile, Barbie, I'm like, yes, Enzo.
I live.
I died. And she's like, no, he likes cars. He watches like cartoons. Like, I don't know where he learned Barbie.
His dad is a police officer. Like, you know.
Yeah, like Barbie was not in his realm.
I
and
mean,
not going
when
to school.
You think about, like, do y'all have thoughts and memories from that age?
Yes,
like,
little
ones.
Like,
what's your earliest memory?
Earliest memory, probably, I remember a lot from the age of 8. Like,
oh,
not
wow.
saying that's my earliest memory, but 8, second grade, I remember so much. I don't know what happened in that year, but, like, so many memories from then. Probably when I was, like, 3 or, like, 4.
Same.
Like, playing in the front yard in Montreal when I used
to. Mine is very vivid. Mine was, I was at the store and I was bawling because my mom wouldn't buy me this like green little tykes wheelbarrow, and I cried until she made me buy it.
I mean, until I made her buy it and she did. And then I had
it. Oh my God, you're the same. Also, you say wheelbarrow, like it's barrel. Wheelbarrow.
No, it's wheelbarrow.
Barrow. How do you say it, Gabriel?
Wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, like crackle
like
barrel.
Like crate and barrel.
Yeah.
Shut up. Okay. To the listener cracker out there, barrel. Please call in. Let us know. Is it wheelbarrow or
make
wheelbarrow?
Sure you tweet, we need queerify. To know. Oh my God. Speaking of call in, we have a hotline here. We're going to answer some questions. Do you want to stick around?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay, cool. We are going to be back right after this break with Gabriel Zamora.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. We are with Gabriel Zamora, and we are going to be taking some of your queries. You can call us, of course, on our hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS. That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S. As always, nothing is off limits, bitch. Really, go for gold, because we love hearing your questions, and we love having our guests answer them, too. It's a different perspective, and it's so fun, and this is just, like, my favorite part of the show. I can't wait for this part. So let's do it. Mimi, are you ready?
So ready. Here we go. Our first query.
Hi, Gigi and Mimi. It's Patrick. Hope you're both doing well. I'm just curious as to when we're going to expect The Avenue season 4. Talk to you soon.
Oh my God, I'm dying. Patrick, The Avenue was, if anyone listening doesn't know, it was Mark and I's reality show back in the day
on
YouTube.
No, I was not on
it.
It
was like our high school friends.
I was not. The Avenue?
Yeah, you were.
The Avenue.
Oh, The Avenue. No.
No.
The Avenue. No, so that
was
on
the campus.
One before, the
yeah.
campus.
Yeah, and then...
Oh my God, I can't. If you're an OG Gigi stan, you will know. That was ridiculous. That is never coming back. I don't even talk to those girls anymore.
Oh my God, OG. Shut up. You still talk to, like, Rachel.
Not for any reasons. Yeah, sometimes on Instagram here and there, but I really would love a reunion, though. Like, just like a reunion photo. I feel like that'd be fun.
Hills.
Yes.
You know who I, like, need to meet, like, see again, need to meet again? I kind of love her, Arta. Like, I need to know what Arta's doing.
Now.
Yeah, and she lives in, like, Morocco or something.
Yes, yes.
And she's, like, a magazine editor. Like, that's so insane.
Did you watch The Avenue?
No. I came at the campus.
The
oh,
campus
my God,
beforehand.
You watched The Campus?
That's around the time that I came into, yeah.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's like, you were on it.
Yeah.
Don't mind me.
That's around the time that I started to watch Gigi.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
ridiculous.
God.
Okay, next question.
Next question.
Hi. This is like the third time I'm calling. I'm so sorry. And you're probably like, can you please stop calling? But I have another question. Okay. So like, how do you get off your head? So I don't know. I don't know if it's for everyone, but like for me, and it's also like other people too. Like I just like get in my head and I'm like, like you're not valid. Like stop acting like if anyone's ever going to see you as anything that what you're born with. And it's just, like, so annoying because I'm like, okay, you're just never going to be a man. Like, no one's ever going to see you as that. Like, you're always going to be female. Everyone's ever going to see you as that. Like, just stop pretending to be something you're not. It's kind of annoying. It just gets so sad because I'm just all up in my head, like, fully, like, invalidating myself and, like, my identity. And, like, it just sucks really bad. So, like, do you guys have any ways that I can fix that or, like, any advice? And... yeah, I love you guys so much, and I hope you have a pleasant amazing day. Thank you.
Okay, wow. Thank you, caller. That was a good question. How do you... It sounded like he was a trans man, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he was a trans man. How do you validate yourself in your own mind when no one sees you as who you are? Gabriel, do you have any thoughts for our caller?
Well, I'm aware... of me being born a male and presenting as a male, and it's still even though I was gay and maybe I got like hate for that, like it was still like I was always a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I, with presenting myself in that sense, I think I don't know when it comes to gender, because I've like I just live in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I would say, you know, with me and with trans people I know, it is all about consistency, and you are going to have to believe it more than anyone else. So with anything, confidence and all of that bullshit that gets in our head, we all get that. It's not anything to be ashamed of. It's nothing. You have to really recognize that this is all temporary. Like, you are feeling insecure. You're feeling all these things. You're invalidating yourself, beating yourself up. We all do it. But also, when you feel confident, fucking go with it. You know, like, if you want people to see you as a man, then you really need to drive home that you're a man, because if you're not going to believe it, no one else is going to believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not pretending to be something that you're not. This is who you are. It's all about consistency. If people see you as, oh, he one day, and then the next day you're like, oh no, like it doesn't matter, don't worry, that's going to confuse them. So you got to really just drive it home every minute of the day. And then sooner rather than later, people are going to totally forget about this weird time, and they're just going to see you as the man that you are.
Exactly. Also, it sounds like he's dealing with anxiety and voices in his head telling him he's not valid, and he's thinking that it's him. One really good tool that I've used is naming that voice in your head. That's not me. RuPaul actually teaches this too. Like, ooh, it's your inner saboteur. Like, it's not you. Don't listen to it. It's actually like, when you hear that, it should send up a red flag saying, oh, okay, my inner saboteur is really trying to get me today. So let me pull it together, not listen to that, and then go the opposite way. So that is a really good tip, and I think
I never dealt with it like that.
Yeah,
I watch
RuPaul all the time, but I never really actually processed that. So do you name it like Bianca? Like, yes. Oh, Bianca's being crazy today.
Yes, it's not me. Like, I name mine the devil. Like, fuck, the devil is out to get me today. Like, not today.
Ooh, I'm gonna name mine something really nasty.
Yes, you have to make sure that, you know, it's
I've
not
never,
you
like, named. The voice.
Me either.
Or like the
I feel
thoughts,
like that's like helpful, though.
It is
helpful, because then you can be like, no.
It disassociates you, because ooh, you think it's you, but no, you would never tell yourself those things.
It's yes, like your worst enemy.
Exactly.
Ooh, I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to
name
mine tonight.
Do I hate?
That's my homework for tonight.
Okay.
Name your inner saboteur.
Thank you for that question. Our third and last query. Here we go.
Hi, my name's Demi from Florida. Gigi, I met you about 5-6 years ago in Miami. You were in Sephora, and you did like a meet and greet, and it was everything. And you're actually the reason I decided to come out as trans. So thank you. But I want to ask for advice. So me and my husband have been married now for almost a year, and we currently live with our family because we're trying to get our, you know, life together. And we just decided recently that we want to move out. But it's very spontaneous, and I don't know if I should be responsible and wait a couple more months and save more money, or if I should just do it. It scares the hell out of me to leave, like, you know, just so irresponsibly. So, yeah, if I could get some advice on that, I would love it. Thank you so much. Have a gorgeous day. Loves it.
Demi, this is such a good question. I just would really want to go first. Demi, stay home. It is 2021. We are coming out of a pandemic. It is not the 80s anymore. Money is not falling out of the trees. Everybody is struggling. You're so lucky that your parents, I don't want to say let you, but allow you to live with them. Please save your money. It's so important right now. You know what? If you're listening to this podcast, save your money, because you're going to need it. We're coming out of a pandemic. Nothing is sure. And it's a tough economic time. So it's right now, it's extremely important to be fiscally smart. What do you think, Gigi?
Oh, I was going to tell Demi to do it. Jump right in.
Tell her why.
Get out of that home. Go.
Sign the
lease. Yes. Drop all your money. Bankrupt yourself.
To 24 months.
No, I honestly... Whatever is in your gut, sometimes, you know, spending the money, take the risk. It literally internally and somewhere in the universe, I don't know, this has happened to me tons of times where I take a risk. It makes me work harder, and it makes me achieve other things that I wouldn't necessarily have achieved. So I feel like if you really feel like this is something in your gut that you need to do, then I would say do it. But I feel like my dad when I say this, save your money. You know, money is just a great thing to have on you. and you just are going to regret it so hard if you do take the leap, and God forbid you get broke or you're going through a hard time, you're going to be like, I could have easily just stayed at home, you know? So whatever you want, but I would honestly agree and say stay home too, for at least a little longer.
Yeah. Gabriel?
For me, I would have to be like reasonable with it. I would be like, okay, do you both have a job? Mm-hmm. Is it full time? What is like, what are your budgets like looking like? Can you give me like a budget breakdown of your expenses, your bills within the last 3 months? Are you very savvy with that? I would start getting that ready. Make sure you start understanding what y'all's together budget is going to be. Like, what are you going to be paying in rent? Like, start being able to save that you can see, am I ready to have this money come out of my like available money? Like, start putting that in the savings, be like, okay, I can afford this much a month, like with this many bills. Start figuring it out for like at least 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, apartments are still going to be there. Houses are still going to be there. Figure out your expenses. And if you're ready and you feel ready, then do it. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing like living on your own and living away from your parents and being able to be like, this is my space. The whole thing is my space. Like, I can recharge here. That's an amazing feeling. So if you feel like your finances are in order, do it. But if they're not, bitch, get it together.
And also, you know, when you get that new place, you're totally going to want to have a housewarming party. You're going to want to have people over. You're going to want to go out to
dinner.
And you're
going to have to furnish it.
Exactly. You're going to want to decorate it. You're going to want to paint. You're going to want to, I mean, if you are a fan of me, you know, you're going to want to go out, girl.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're going to want to have even more in the bank than you need. Yeah. You know, save even more than you have, where you're like, wow, I am just loaded right now. Let's move out. Like, don't struggle. And especially if your family's like accepting and everything and you have a husband, like, you are so lucky. You're killing it. And it's just like a blessing your life. So don't fuck it up if you don't have to, you know?
It's a major big step. So only take it when you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, Money Talk on Queerified, us money experts.
Oh, welcome to
Come
the
on,
bank.
Susie Ormond.
Susie Ormond. Oh my God. Well, that takes us to the end of our pod.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for coming on. Let people know. I mean, you have a podcast of your own.
Yes.
Plug everything. Let people know where they can find you if they don't already follow you.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Gabriel Zamora, Zamora, on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube. You can find me everywhere. I also have a podcast named Blunt Talk where I get high, everyone, and I just have conversations either by myself, and I like literally imagine that y'all are there, or with other people.
Love that.
It's amazing. Your one with your most recent one, I don't know when this is coming out, but your most recent one and the one with Lily Galici was such a good listen.
Oh, I live for Lily.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, we got high and like, yeah.
Yeah, she literally is like so just inspiring.
Like, don't you just want her to be on Housewives?
Yeah. She does. She needs.
Oh, iconic.
She needs. I bet you she will, huh?
No, she won't.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Her husband is very like, I just don't like being online. And she says that she's like, I manifested this man. I said, I don't want him to be on social media. He hates social media.
Right.
She's like, be like a little more specific. Be like, maybe he like does it. He's not on it, but like, you know, he likes it.
I feel like that's just very husbands.
Yeah.
That's like Elaine husbands are in.
They love
that. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you for having me.
I manifested this. I was listening to your podcast and I was like, oh my gosh, should I just DM her? Because we always like see each other out and stuff, but never really like have hung.
No.
So it was really nice like getting to know you more and talking with you today.
Thank you everyone for having me, Gigi and Mimi.
Thank
Queerify.
You.
Yes.
Thanks to our guest, Gabriel Zamora, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you in the next one. Stay gorgeous.